The following program is recorded content created by the Truth Network.
Have you ever been at a Bible study or heard a preacher say something you didn't like? Or maybe you read a Bible verse that you just didn't agree with? Well, if this has ever happened to you, then you need our patented Beelzebub Bewilder Filter. That's right. With our Bewilder Filter, you can change any Bible verse or sermon to better suit your personal needs. It slices, dices, rearranges, and distorts even the toughest biblical truths into more pliable half-truths. For a limited time offer, you can get it free for just $9.95. Curious to know more? Let's take John 14:6, where Jesus says, "I am the way and the truth and the life, and no one comes to the Father but through me." With a quick use of the Beelzebub Bewilder Filter, it now says, "I am a way, a truth, and a life, and as long as you are sincere, you can go to heaven." Still not convinced? Let's try another. Ephesians 2:8 says, "For by grace through faith you have been saved, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God." But with the Beelzebub Bewilder Filter, it becomes, "For through kindness and good works you save yourself as a gift to yourself so that you might take pleasure in your rewards." That's right, folks. As unbelievable as it might sound, the free Beelzebub Bewilder Filter can be yours for just $9.95. But wait, there's more. If you order right now for just $29.95, we'll send you a free ear tickler headset that repeats your filtered verses in the most soothing voice possible. That's right, folks. It's an amazing deal. So if you want to feel good, warm, and fuzzy after reading God's holy word, then you need the Beelzebub Bewilder Filter. Impress your liberal friends and watch those bigoted conservatives pop a spiritual gasket. It's great for parties, birthdays, and bar mitzvahs. Be the first at your Bible study to get one. Just call 1-800-666-1313. Disclaimer, offer not available to the regenerate.
It's Matt Slick Live. Matt is the founder and president of the Christian Apologetics Research Ministry, found online at carm.org. When you have questions about Bible doctrines, turn to Matt Slick Live for answers, taking your calls and responding to your questions at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
All right, everyone. Welcome to the show. How are you doing? Hope you enjoyed that intro. We were goofing around, playing, having some fun. Got a couple other ones we got and need to make some more. But, hey, if you like that, let me know. If it's kind of different, and yeah, that was me doing the intro. And anyway, we're having fun. All right, five open lines. If you want to give me a call, all you have to do is dial 877-207-22. Read the text. Okay, let me try to get 208. No, wait. No, wait, let me try this one more time. 877-207-2276. I cannot read the text in the chat while I'm giving out numbers. It just messes me up, as you can tell. All right, five open lines. Give me a call, and let me know what you think of the intro if you like that kind of stuff. It's a lot of fun. All right. Now, on, I think it was Friday night, I had an impromptu, it was kind of, it was set up, scheduled discussion, debate, became something like that, with a guy. And at one point, for those of you who heard that, at one point I almost left, I almost says, I'm done, because he was so interruptive. And he'd ask questions that's hard to answer, just jump right in, ask another question, demand, you know. And I don't do that, you know. I don't like that. I want to, you know, let's talk back and forth. Let's have it. So I told him, I said, I'm done. You know, look, you got to stop that. And so he finally complied, and then we had a more polite conversation, and we went through the issues of total depravity. And let's just say that I think that someone in the discussion was not exegeting Scripture very well, was eisegeting instead. But it was a good discussion, and at one point, let's just say, well, more than one point, let's just say a little stumpage was going on. Someone was stumped on how to respond to certain Scriptures. You know, so maybe you could call in if you heard all of that, give me some comments. If you want, if not, no big deal. We have all kinds of topics we can talk about. You name it, and we can get to it. 877-207-2276. All right, so, also, I'm on the Metaverse, and there's a thing called Big Screen. And I go into Big Screen every now and then, and, you know, you have to put the goggles things on, and you have hand controllers, and you're in there, and you can walk around, you can move, you can talk to people. If they're to your right, you hear them from your right, and you can see distance. It's 3D. It's really cool. And so I go in to places like that, and I do some teaching and answering questions. And I'll tell you, man, there's a lot of people there who Well, let's just say they can't think very clearly. And I'm not just being mean. It really is something I've noticed, particularly with the young crowd. Not all of them, but man, I've really noticed in the past 10 years a real degradation in the ability of people to think critically. Now, I don't know if that's just me, but I think that's the case. That's my opinion. And I'll talk to people. I can tell, you know, you can tell what they're young. And they will assert certain truths that have no basis in reality. When you point out a logical problem, very simply, they can't see it, won't see it, and become accusatory. And what scares me is they're going to end up voting and driving. And that bothers me. I'm like, oh my goodness. That happens a lot, and I've noticed it's on the increase. So I'm suspecting that long ago, the schools stopped teaching critical thinking, stopped teaching logic of mathematics and various things, and now they're teaching social agenda and transgenderism. And this is... That's bad. You can't have a country of people who just can't think. They just react and just go whatever Big Brother says to go do. So that's really a concern, and I've been seeing that. So anyway, that was part of the conversation I had yesterday and the day before. I get on the YouTube, not on YouTube, on Oculus, Oculus Quest 2, and I go in there in Metaverse. I also go into let's see, Clubhouse or Club Deck. Clubhouse is the phone version. Club Deck is the computer version of the same thing. And I also go into Discord and also go into Second Life. So I'm always looking for opportunities to be able to share the faith. And here we are on the radio. So praise God for technology able to do that. So there you go. All right, having said all of that, now we have two open lines. If you want to give me a call, all you got to do is dial 877-207-2276. Let's get to Matt from Raleigh, North Carolina. Matt, welcome. You're on the air.
Hey, Matt, how you doing?
I'm doing all right, man.
Good. I like that intro you did with the... that was pretty funny.
It's fun, yeah.
My question is, as far as the rapture of a church, the you know, pre-trib or post-trib. My question is, as far the church I was raised in, I was just taught that you were going to be here during the tribulation. I never even knew the church would even, you know, you're going to be raptured, taken out of the way.
Right.
I guess where my confusion is coming in is we can read the same verse of scripture. And the ones that believe the post-rapture or pre-tribulation rapture, they get that out of what they're reading, and the ones that believe you're going to be here to go through it read the same scripture, and they get, no, we got to go through it.
Right. That does
so
happen
my confusion
a lot.
That, well, I know in Revelation it is referred to as Jacob's trouble.
Okay.
And Jacob being Israel, that would be that. That's my take on when it says a time of Jacob's trouble. So
okay.
I don't know where I land on it. I just know that where the church I grew up in, you were going to have to go through it. So
yeah, that's unusual because most churches teach that that we're going to be raptured out and that everybody's going to be hunky dory and we don't have to go through persecution. So yeah, that's what people most of the churches I've ever come across teach. Yep. Yeah, that's
well,
right.
Well, I guess my confusion there is if we're truly born again, filled with the Holy Spirit, then you got the Holy Spirit, I got the Holy Spirit. We're reading the same scripture, and you get one thing out of it, and I get one thing out of it. As far as it being, and I hear a lot of people say, well, I mean, that's not a hill I'm willing to die on. And it's like, well, I've heard some preachers say, well, if you believe you got to go through it, then you'll be one that has to go through it. So,
yeah, that's just irrational. That's not logical. If you believe it, it makes it so. That's new agey. But,
right.
You know, Yeah, so sometimes people, you know, it's like, oh, come on, think better. But here's an example of a verse that you're talking about where one person will get one thing, one person will get another. For God has not destined us for wrath, but for obtaining salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. That's 1 Thessalonians 5:9. So they'll say, see, we're not going through the tribulation because he's not destined us for wrath. And
right.
It's a common verse that people use for that. And I say, well, did you read the whole thing? For God has not destined us for wrath, but for obtaining salvation. So there's a contrast, not wrath, but salvation. They're opposites, right? Yes.
Right.
Okay, so I'll ask them, what's the opposite of salvation? The damnation.
Right.
That's what's going on. He hasn't destined us for wrath, for his damning wrath, but for salvation. It has nothing to do with the rapture. And so this is an example of stuff where people read into the text what isn't there. But yeah, it happens a lot. I can give you other
well,
ones.
Well, I mean,
but, yeah.
You know, I just, as far as the confusion, I just want to be right with what the Word says. You know, if the Word of God says you got to be here to go through it, then I, you know, I pray for the strength to make it through it, you know.
Right.
So,
yeah, and I agree.
I guess,
you know, we don't want to die on any particular hill. I hope that the preacher people are right, but I think we're going to go through it. And, you know, just do what we can, best we can in Scripture, and be tolerant and loving and patient. Yep.
Well, you know, I do appreciate what you do, and, you know, just keep up the good work, and just God bless you.
You too, brother. God bless, man. Thanks a lot.
All right.
Appreciate
thanks.
It.
Thanks. Bye-bye.
All right. Okay, so if you want to give me a call, we have three open lines, 877-220-7227-6. Melissa from North Carolina, welcome. You're on the air.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call. Can you hear
sure.
me okay?
Yes, I can.
Oh, okay. So my question, I've been serving the Lord since 1985, and I love his word, and I have been hearing a lot about courtrooms of heaven. What is your opinion on the whole process of that? And it's really based on Job and how, you know, there's a scripture in Job that says, you know, how Satan approaches God's throne and, you know, he speaks and all of that. And this whole thing is based on Satan still goes to God's throne and he holds court, and we, you know, they have a verdict against us. And I don't know if you know much about it, but what is your opinion on that?
Yeah, that's heresy. Yeah, it's false teaching.
Okay.
Yeah, our salvation is by justification in Christ, and it's not by anything in heaven of courts and things like that. They're going to be weighed. Anybody would teach that's a false teacher. Flat out false teacher. We're justified by faith. Romans 3:28, Romans 5:1, Romans 4:5, Galatians 2:16. Justification is a legal declaration of righteousness. This is by faith alone in Christ alone, period. Now, you got some noise going on in the background there, so I don't know what's going on.
I do. I'm so sorry. I just pulled into my driveway from work.
Okay.
I'm sorry.
Well, can you hold on? Because we got a break. All right. And we'll get to it some more. All right. Hey, folks, we'll be right back after these messages. Three open lines. If you want to give me a call, 877-207-2276. We'll be right back.
Matt Slick Live, taking your calls at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
All right, everybody, welcome back to the show. Two open lines. If you want to give me a call, 877-207-2276. Melissa, are you still there?
Yes, sir, I am.
All right, so, courtroom of heaven. Okay, if in any way what they're saying, because the term can be used different ways, if they're saying that it's a process of salvation, a judgment of salvation, then it's a damnable heresy. We are judged in Christ, and we're justified by faith alone. Some people, from what I understand, are teaching that you can bring your prayers and plead your case before God in the courts of heaven, etc.
Yeah.
And there's problems with that as well. So you know?
Yeah, there's some of the things of, you know, there's, what is it, like generational curses and addiction and all this stuff. And we all know the blood of Jesus is final, you know, and it was done on the cross and completed. But I just wanted to see what your opinion was, because a lot of it is, you know, they use the right words and the, you know, the scripture, and they actually, you know, show certain things in Job and I think some other places. But, yeah, but I definitely wanted to get your opinion on it.
Yeah. Yeah, people do that. They will they'll take verses, and then they will put another verse together, and then they say something that just isn't there. It's just not biblical. And, you know, it's too many people are into sensationalistic ideology. The courts of heaven. I found a new thing in the Bible. So now I'm going to write on the courts of heaven, how you can approach the courts of heaven. Get my book on the courts of heaven. And it's like, oh, and it just gets tiring. People making merchandise off the Word of God.
Yeah. Just stand in the finished work of Christ is what we have to do. And well, thank you for that. I appreciate you and your ministry, and I really enjoyed the intro with the little thing you did. It was great. 777-1, or was it 666-1313? That was
good. That's right. It's called 666-1313. That's right. For your free copy for $29.95. That's right, a lot of fun. We got a couple of the ones that are there, so I need to do a lot more, but they take a lot of work and effort and stuff like that.
I agree. Well, it was very good, and thank you again for your time, and we appreciate you.
All right, well, thank you. Well, God bless.
Thank you. Okay. God bless. Bye.
All right. Let's get to, let's see, that'd be Jeremy from Ohio. Jeremy, whom we lost. And now, well, we have four open lines. You're going to give me a call, 877-207-2276. I want to hear from you. Give me a call. Let's get to, let's see, Betty from, or Betty Lou from Raleigh. Hey, Betty, welcome. You're on the air.
I have a question about the Passion Bible or the Passion Translation and what you think of it.
Okay, it's in the New Apostolic Reformation. And I did a review on that, and I'm waiting for the article to come up. And in many places, it does a good job of translating the original text, but in many other places, it inserts words and reinterprets the original so that the English reflects NAR theology, New Apostolic Reformation theology. And so I have on my site examining the Passion Translation Bible, and the graphic I did, the Passion Translation, I made the graphic so it was faulty and wiggly, and it was to represent its bad stuff that it goes. So in the NASB, for example, Proverbs 16:4, it says this: the Lord has made everything for its own purpose, even the wicked for the day of evil. But the Passion says even the wicked are included in his plans, and that is a that's a mistranslation. It's a falsification of what's going on. Or how about Matthew 7:23? And then Jesus says, and then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. And so what does the Passion Translation say? But I will have to say to them, go away from me, you lawless rebels. I've never been joined to you. What? Joined to you. That's not what's going on. Or Mark 1:15, which says, get this, Mark 1:15, and saying, the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe the gospel. That's the NASB. Here's the Passion Translation. His message was this: at last the fulfillment of the age has come. It is time for the realm of God's kingdom to be experienced in its fullness. Turn your lives back to God and put your hope and your trust in hope-filled gospel. Man,
wow.
I mean, yeah, wow.
That doesn't make any sense, even.
Now, here's another one. You're right, it doesn't. Here's another one. Now, this is in Mark 4, 10 through 12. This is where Jesus, they ask Jesus, why do you speak in parables? And he gives a really profound answer. He says in verse 12, he says, so that while seeing they may see and not perceive, and while hearing they may hear and not understand. Otherwise, they might be returned and be forgiven. But what they do is say, the privilege is giving it to you, but not to others, where everything is revealed in parables. What they did was they actually changed the words of Christ to make it fit their theology. And how about, for nothing will be impossible for God, with God. Nothing will be impossible with God, Luke 1:37. And then their version, not one promise from God is empty of power, for nothing is impossible with God. So in other words, they added, not one promise from God is empty of power. They added all those words into the text.
Yeah, which are not necessary to do that.
And because they have apostles and prophets, they switched the Greek order. Because in the Greek, it's in Luke 11:49, for this reason also, the wisdom of God said, I will send to them prophets and apostles. Okay, and some of them they will kill. Mm-hmm. And then in their version, that accounts for the wisdom of God saying, I will send them apostles and prophets. Though some they will murder and others they'll seize. Whoa! But you see, that's significant, because prophets and apostles deals Old Testament, New Testament, but apostles and prophets, or prophets and apostles is Old Testament, New Testament, but apostles and prophets is a switch hinting towards the new apostolic reformation of present-day apostles and prophets. Because the apostles are above prophets in the NAR.
And that's so subtle, isn't it?
It's subtle.
Subtle deception.
Right.
For people who are just reading, for you, but for the average person reading like me.
Yeah.
So, thank you. You know what? I bought a harmony of the four Gospels that's in the Passion, and I was taking notes on things that didn't sound right to me and then looking them up. So,
I recommend that if you have the Passion Translation, I would put it on the same shelf I would have the Queen James Bible. The Queen James Bible is where, it's for real, it's called the Queen James, where the homosexual community altered certain texts to make it fit their theology. The same thing with the Passion Translation.
Wow. Okay. Well, thank you so much.
Yeah.
Thank you. I'm going to look up your site and read more about it online, too. But thank you for that great explanation.
All right. You're welcome. Well, God bless.
Yeah, thanks. God bless you, too. Amen.
Okay, bye. Okay,
bye.
That was Betty Lou. Hey, there's a few more of these. Romans 9:13 in the NASB and the ESV both say, just as it is written, Jacob I loved, but Esau I hated. The Passion Translation says, Jacob I have chosen, but Esau I rejected. See, they just changed the Word of God. But when the perfect comes, the partial will be done away. When love's perfection arrives, don't trust the Passion Translation. Folks, we have four open lines. If you want to give me a call, 877-207-2276. We'll be right back.
Matt Slick Live, taking your calls at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
All right, everyone, welcome back to the show. Hope you're enjoying the show so far. If you want to give me a call, all you got to do is dial 877-207-2276. I want to hear from you. Four open lines. Give me a call. Let's get to, I believe that is Paul from Richmond, Virginia. Paul, welcome. You're on the air.
Hello there.
Hello.
Been a while since I've called in.
Okay.
But I listen, though. My question is regarding the I guess what could be summed up as end time questions.
Yes.
And I had wondered if you had ever listened to Jan Markell of Olive Tree Ministries or Dr. Brown, PhD, who has his own. Both of them have their own programs on this same station. And Jan Markell is definitely seems to be pre-trib rapture, and Dr. Brown does not believe that, and I know you do not believe that. And so I was wondering what your thoughts are on Jan Markell and Olive Tree Ministries.
Well, I haven't heard him, so I don't know. I just can't, comment. I mean, if he holds a pre-trib, I hope he's right. I don't think so, but
Jan
I hope
is a
he
female.
Is. What? Oh, she's a female?
Jan is a lady.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Oh, Jan. Okay, I don't know. I hope she's right. I don't believe so. I don't see pre-trib rapture in the scriptures. I think it has to be read into and inferred. And I think they're going to love this. This is going to make a couple people, some people mad a little bit. Not intentionally, I'm not trying to, but I think the pre-tribbers don't take the Bible as literally as they need to. That's my view. I try and take it as literally as possible when we can. But, you know, I don't know. And Dr. Brown, I've talked to him before. He's a good guy. And if he's post-trib, okay, great, I agree with him. Hope he's wrong. How about that? I don't want to go through it. So, you know, I don't know the pre-trib arguments that she might give, but I will say that each argument I've come across, when I look at the context, I don't find it supporting their view. So that's just me. That's just my opinion. Maybe they'll say that, you know, I'm not trying to disrespect them, but that's just me.
Yes, well, one final question is, what would you say to a person who does not believe in pre-trib, but is also a flat earther?
Okay, so post-trib, we're talking a post-trib flat earther? Is that what we're talking about?
Yes. Yes.
Wow, a post-trib flat earther. How could you
I
be
swear,
so...
I'm not making it. This up.
Yeah, I would ask him, how can you be that smart and that dumb at the same time? Because, you know, I mean that, you know, in a joking kind of a way because of the contrast, but flat earth stuff, oh my goodness, it's just dumb. I'm sorry, but it is. Oh, man. I'm sorry.
Would you be interested if I were to get the exact scriptures that she refers to and call sometime and give them to you around flat earthers?
She does? She teaches flat earthers?
Yeah, she has exact scriptures that she has. She told me she studied scripture extensively and that she has specific scripture that supports flat earth. But I don't know what they are. I don't know what they are.
Well, there's the circle of the earth. They often go through that. And when they go through the circle of the earth, then I'll quote them about the four corners. You know, well, but the four corners, if it's flat and it's a circle, then it has four corners. It's got to be a rectangle or a square. So there you go.
Yeah.
You know, why would they pick one over the other? Yeah. Flat earth. You know, and I'd love to ask them questions. I've done this with
flat earthers. Post-trib.
Bad letter post. Yep. Yeah, I've asked him questions. Hey, well, what's an earthquake? Is that when the turtles move? And, you know, and so, I mean, because, come on. Okay? And
all right, Matt.
Yeah, I've written on the flat earth. I've debated it with people before. I'm familiar with their arguments. But there's one argument
I wish sometimes that all of you would get together on the same stage and debate each other.
I've done this. I've talked to flat earthers. I've been in rooms with them. And look, here's, let me tell you what I say to them. Here's something I say. Look, imagine a table, a circle, a circular table, 3 feet in diameter. Okay? Okay. Put a dome over it. All right? Okay. Now, the dome's maybe 2 feet high or 3 feet high. Doesn't matter. Okay. So, in the middle of the dome, there's two main views. One is that the sun and the moon, because they're both equal size in their view, are embedded in the dome. And the other view is that they are suspended underneath the dome. Okay? All right? So those are the two views. And that the dome, if it's embedded in the dome, the reason the sun and the moon move is because the dome is moving. And then some say that they're outside. There's variations. But I'll say, okay. So this is the dome over the earth, right? Yes, that's right. Okay, they all teach that. Okay. So then, why is it you can only see the sun during the day and not the night, but you see the moon during the day and the night? Since if you have the dome and both lights are up at the top, then from any place on that table, you have straight vision to it. Why can't you see it? See the sun at night. Simple. Real simple. And you know what they say? what I've heard is, well, the sun is like a flashlight. It only points at a certain direction. And, well, you know, what do you do with stuff like that? You just, I've talked to people, it's like, okay, do I want to continue talking about this? So it's a flashlight. It's like a flashlight? Yeah, that's right, like a flashlight. That's why it only shines in one area and you can't see it. So there's something around the sun that stops the light from going in all angles? It just goes down in a major area? Is that what it is? Or are you saying that the only half of the sun works? Because if it's round, because you're saying it's round, is it a sphere or is it a disc? Either way, you have to have something on the side of it to stop the light going down. You have to. So what is it? Is it a gigantic, you know, wall around the sun that points down? What is it? And these are the kinds of questions I ask them. And I'm telling you, it's like a flashlight. Or, well, we don't know yet, but it's still true. Like, you know, and then, so if the ones who say that the sun and the moon are equal sizes, they're equal size, they say, and they're suspended in the air above the earth, below the dome. So are they hanging from anything? No, they're just there. How come they don't fall? How come they don't draw to each other? Because they're circling each other. But if that's the case, you wouldn't see the moon going a different direction than the sun. You know, and it's just. So I get a little short with flat earthers after 5 minutes. I say, I am done talking to you. And then, but I do ask them some more questions. I say, look, do you drive a car? They say, yeah. What state do you live in? You know, well, I live in Florida. Okay, good. Good. Because I'm in Idaho. I just want to make sure I'm not driving on the same road with you. Because, you know, I can't trust you. If you think that your answers are competent and this is good thinking, I don't know. Because if you might see a red light and go, hey, you know what? That's a light suspended by the ethereal essence of the mass and stuff like that. And so I can go green because it's really a flat earth. You know, who knows? So it's just like, oh, yeah.
Right. Okay, yeah. Matt, thank you.
Yeah. Oh, man, flat earth. Okay. Sorry. Thanks. God bless. Hey, folks, we have five open lines. If you want to give me a call, wide open, 877-207-2276. Maybe you're a flat earther, and you want to call, and you want to, you know, say, why is it then that we can only see at night, we can only see the moon and not the sun? If the dome is true and they're above us, then every single place on the earth would have the same angle. Well, potentially. I mean, you'd all be able to see the light above. Just like if you were in a big auditorium and it was a dome and there was lights up there, no matter where you are in the auditorium, you can see those lights up at the top. Unless something's blocking it, right? But do they have anything blocking the light of the sun? No. Why do they waste our time? Because they cannot think their way out of a wet paper bag. Yeah. And then there's the problem of gravity. And I've actually heard some say that the sun and the moon dip down behind the disk of the earth and come up on the other side. And there's gravitational problems related to that. It just gets... Okay.
Matt Slick Live, taking your calls at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
All right, everyone, welcome back to the show. Let's get to Matt from Charlotte, North Carolina. Welcome. You're on the air, buddy.
Hey, hello.
Hello. Hello. So what do you got?
Okay. So, with the flat earth, I'm not really, I don't know. I've just seen some things, and some stuff doesn't make sense, some stuff does. As far as, like, the earth spinning at 1,000 miles an hour, and we're able to maintain a still shot from space.
A what?
Like, how does that happen?
A what?
A photograph.
I don't understand the question. The Earth is spinning at the surface at the Earth, at the equator, roughly at 1,000 miles an hour. And why can't? How can we take a picture? Are you there?
If it's spinning at 1,000 miles, is a satellite moving at 1,000 miles an hour with the Earth?
No, it's moving faster. Okay, the further out you are, the greater the distance, the radius, and the greater the speed has to be to orbit it if it's in geosynchronous orbit. Okay, but depending on the altitude, the speed decreases, basically.
Another thing would be shooting a rocket into space.
Yeah.
If the Earth is moving at 1,000 miles an hour, a rocket going into space...
Yeah, a rocket went to space, yes. How what?
How would it go into space and not catch the wind?
And not
is
catch
space
the...
moving at 1,000 miles an hour?
Wait. Catch the wind?
I'm stating if it's moving at 1,000 miles an hour, would wind be involved?
The wind is moving with the Earth. So everything's relative.
So that would be at 1,000 miles an hour.
See, 1,000 miles an hour is relative to a different point. So if you and I are sitting in a car traveling at 60 miles an hour on the freeway and we're sitting next to each other, then relative to each other, we don't have any movement next to each other, but we have movement referencing something external to us. So the Earth... with the wind in it is like being in that car moving. It's all the same relative to that environment. Okay? So the
now,
question...
if the car stops, or if the car comes in an accident, that's halting the movement at that point in time, right?
If it gets in an accident, then the momentum of our bodies will crash into something. Okay?
So I'm stating dealing with momentum, if a rocket is sent into space, going through the atmosphere and such, the atmosphere is moving at 1,000 miles an hour, but
it's not moving at 1,000 miles an hour relative to the surface of the Earth. Okay? Motion is relative. Motion is relative. If you woke up, if someone drugged you and put you in a plane, on a jet, you're doing 500 miles an hour, but you don't know you're in the air. You're just in a enclosed environment, and you're just traveling 500 miles an hour. Do you know you're traveling? You don't know, because motion's relative. So this is basic physics, and these kinds of arguments don't hold any water whatsoever because they're not based in physics. They're based in a misunderstanding of how things work. So the
Well, wouldn't you say that was physics if you took a globe and you spent it around and you say you had a toy rocket on the globe and you engaged the rocket, that the rocket would go out. It wouldn't spin with the globe.
It depends on what angle the force is applied at. If it's parallel to the surface, then it'll stay with the surface. If you do it perpendicular, it'll go up. But if it goes straight up as the Earth moves, say from right to left on the surface, then what we would see is the rocket going straight up and the Earth moving to the left. So from the perspective of the Earth, you'd see the rocket move to the upper right as it curves. It's just perspective. It's an issue of motion perspective. And a lot of the flat earthers don't understand this, and it's basic physics, and they don't get it. They need to study physics just a little bit. This is basic stuff.
I don't know, because I have to differ, because when you're dealing with gravity and the force and everything is pulling to the center of the Earth, if it's a globe, then there will be a bottom and a top, you know. So at that point,
not if it's a globe. Everything is no. Angle is, or up or down, is relative to something else. If you're in the space station in a sphere, which way is right, which way is up? If you're in the middle of space out there between the sun and the moon, what is up and down? It's irrelevant.
Right. Right. Well, so, will become relevant to that is the up or down aspect. I understand what you're saying. It's a sphere. But then you take a piece of, you slab a piece of slime on one end and a piece of slime on the other end. You get what I'm saying? If gravity is pulling in, then that means that it's pulling from two different directions.
Gravity is inversely proportional to the square of the distance, and all objects in the universe exhibit gravitational force on all others, but the distance negates their effectiveness. So the closer the object and the larger the mass, the greater the gravitational force is. You're always going to have gravitational force. My physical body is literally exerting a physical gravitational force upon yours, no matter where you are. It's so minimal, though, that it's undetectable, but mathematically it can be measured. All you need is mass and distance. It's inversely proportional to the square of the distance. You can get this. I'm not good at this kind of math, but there are people who can do that, and they give you a value of how many energy units, whatever it is that they use, to demonstrate the exerted force. That's all that's going on. Okay? So this is basic physics. I would suggest that you take physics classes if you want to do this. Now, let me ask you a question. If the Earth is a dome, there's a dome where the stars are. Do you believe that?
Do you believe that? Where the stars are?
Stars and the sun and the moon? Do you believe that that's the case?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
then
I mean,
why
when,
is it...
When we see photos of the moon, you never see stars.
It's because the light of the moon is so bright that it washes out the light of the stars. Okay? It's simple photography. And if you just take a photograph and put it out there in space, you can get pictures of stars. So the sun and the moon are above in the dome, right? Right? Correct? Is that your view?
I would guess. I mean, from the dome perspective, yeah. Mm-hmm. I'm not too keen on the dome perspective.
All right.
I'm keen on Job 38:14, but I guess that'd be a better discussion.
Job 38:14. Okay. Mm-hmm. And so Job 38:14, and it's changed, and they
the
stand forth
like clay under its feet.
Yes, mm-hmm. And do you realize that this is poetry? Do you understand it's poetry? Have you ever in your life commanded the morning and caused the dawn to know its place, that it may take hold of the ends of the earth and the wicked be shaken out of it? It is changed like clay under the seal, and they stand forth like a garment. Are you taking this literally? Does the dawn have knowledge and know its place? This is poetry. Okay? All right? It's poetry. Okay? So I would suggest that you study this, the flat earth theory. Has no basis in reality. Okay? None. All right? Okay, Matt? We're going to just move along. All right. So, Gary from Utah. Gary, welcome. You're on the air, buddy.
Hey, how's it going, Matt?
Oh, it's going. Yeah, it's a rather flat conversation we just had. We're kind of circling around that same point.
I got some questions for you. I feel like I'm echoing. Can you hear me all right?
Yeah, you're echoing, but okay.
Okay, I'll come in the kitchen here. I got something here that I'm going to get your guidance on, because I'll try to get right to the point. I run into these guys that are on like a lot of these gospel videos. You find them in the comments, and it never fails, Matt. I'm sure you know this too. You run into people who always, and I mean always, misunderstand scripture. I'm not going to claim to be an expert, no way, but I do understand some things. What am I talking about? Well, this guy is talking about I think he's misunderstanding about when it says, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. I'm still running into people that think they can keep God's commandments. And I says, no, as much as I know, Jesus died on the cross for that. It's through faith alone, through grace alone, through Christ alone. You've even said it yourself. Every time we fall, we continue to get back up and trust him. And then he gave me some verses. I want to get your input on this because you have some good knowledge. I think he's taken them out of context, but he says, read Revelation 22:14, talking about the saints keeping the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus. And then he puts down, read Revelation 14:12.
Oh, well, hold on. Okay, I gotcha. I know what they do. I'm quite familiar with it. So just ask them this.
Listen.
No, that's okay. Just ask them, where does it say you do this in order to keep your salvation?
Yeah, that's right. It.
Just ask them.
Right.
Does it say we're justified by the keeping the commandments? Is that what you're saying? So you're just ask them, where does it say that? That's what I do. Show me where it says that. If you love me, you'll keep my commandments. That's John 14:15. All right. And I say, hey, you know what? I believe that if you love Jesus, you're going to do what he says. Mm-hmm. Is doing what he says, is that what gets you saved? Is that keeping the commandments, mm-hmm. is that what gets you saved? And if they say, well, yes, okay, let's list out some of those commandments you got to do to keep yourself right with God. And then I just list them out. Mm-hmm. Okay, so how's that working for you? All right? And then we go to James 2:10, Galatians 3:10. You know, if you stumble in one point, you're guilty of all, and you're under curse and all this stuff.
There we go.
So, and I say, look, you're trying to keep yourself right with the infinitely holy God by your efforts? Wow. And I say, that's arrogance, and you're not keeping the commandments, mm-hmm. now, are you? Oops.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Okay. I was going to say, when you get in your debate, maybe, I don't know when you'll do another one, but you probably ran into this before because you're on top of this right now. You nailed it. But he also put another one about Ezekiel 44:9, where it says about the people must be circumcised in the heart, in the flesh.
Yeah, what I often do with them, I'll say, hey, did you hear that? And they say, hear what? And I say, you know that. Like a verse being ripped out of context. You didn't hear that, huh? I did. And I say, listen to the context. And I give them the broader context. These are people who don't know how to exegete. They don't know how to. They don't understand the biblical theology. They don't understand what's going on, and they're dangerous.
Yeah.
And they need to be rebuked.
Oh yeah.
And they need to be rebuked soundly. So have them call in. Mm-hmm. So you can find them. Have them call me up, and we can talk. It'd be fun. Okay.
Yes, I think I will refer you on to that because you do have a lot of knowledge on that, and I would love to hear a debate with that. That would be so cool because I think you would, whoever that is, I think you would eat them for lunch because obviously these people are not born again. It's obvious.
Yeah, it would seem that they're not born again. That would be the case. It would certainly appear to be so, in that they're seeking to be justified before God by the efforts of their own hands and their own intentions, and that is mm-hmm. blasphemy. And so there's a lot of deception going on. But yeah.
That sounds good. I'll have to make sure and let them know on that because I know you've dealt with that before. And I guess we have some people call in.
We're at time, buddy. But yeah, call back tomorrow and talk some more about it, okay? Because it's good stuff.
Thank you, brother.
I face it regularly. All right. Hey, sorry, Dave from North Carolina. Call back. I know you waited a long time. I appreciate that. But let's talk about what good thing you got to do to inherit eternal life out of Matthew 19:16. We'll talk about that tomorrow. God bless everybody.
Another program powered by the Truth Network.